Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Week 2 Fantasy Football Recap Show, the simulcast by Roto Experts and Sports Grid and Roto Grinders. You probably know this show as the Gilcast. I am Davis Maddock. I am joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. And let me tell you, folks, we are not happy. None of us played the Patriots defense in cash. Some of us were very invested in the Steelers offense, both in tournaments and in cash games. I didn't even have a good tournament team to sweat. I really didn't even have anything to hope for after halftime of the noon game, Sammy. This was the worst day of fantasy football that I can remember.
Yeah, I definitely.
You say this every year.
Well, I have a short memory. I'm a fish. Fish have very short memories.
I mean, my bungus is still sore from what happened yesterday. I mean, the tilt is just so incredible. Like, for me, the Steelers lost in excruciating and spectacular fish fashion. Ben Roethlisberger's hurt. Juju, who, like, you know, we all had 100% of, did nothing. Sammy Watkins was useless. Kamara was useless.
Juju didn't do nothing. Juju had this is one thing I need to get out there. People who are like, Juju's a wide receiver 3 now that Ben is hurt, all this stuff. That's the one thing I want to tell people is Juju is, like, for real going to be fine. He is so good, and he is going to get targeted so much with Mason Rudolph. I'm actually not that worried about him.
Whatever. All you guys listening to this, there's some poor guy on a podcast telling you Juju's going to be fine.
There's some guy who had to swap to Latavius Murray in cash games yesterday telling you that it's going to be fine.
This entire day is just, this weekend is excruciating. I think this is what the people want because we all like won last week.
I don't know if people liked last week's podcast where we were just the thing people reacted to the most strongly was me playing Kyler Murray in cash, tilting for 3 hours and then getting there at the very end. So this is a show that people are going to enjoy. I guess the biggest thing, though, is, like, who didn't get hurt in the NFL yesterday? Like, all the Philadelphia wide receivers got hurt. Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger got hurt. Damian Williams limped off. LeSean McCoy limped off. James Conner limped off. Everybody's hurt, man.
Played guys that didn't get hurt, the games were so affected by the injuries, it didn't matter. Like, nobody was free from it.
Yeah, and, as long as you played the Patriots defense, scores were so low, it was for real probably enough because, like 130 was, like, cashing, like, low-stakes triple-ups. I don't know. I'm not looking at, like, the super high-dollar games, but, like, 130 would have just been, like, an utter smash. You would have had 70% ROI with that.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Yeah. I ended up at 124.3 and didn't make money. I was tilting. It was frustrating.
But you didn't have the Patriots defense.
No, I went Texans.
Yeah, I mean, which, you know, what can you do? So I guess, Nate, you scored the most points out of all of us then? Because my swapped lineup scored 113. My non-swapped lineup scored 97.
Strong. The double digit score, Davis.
All right, maybe I am looking forward to this show. I already feel better about yesterday.
That's
well, my non-swapped lineup is just the chalk lineup. Like, it just, it was like, it basically, it was 1v1 at quarterback versus, like, the most commonly used lineup. And it had a lot of, like, logical, there are a lot of things that we are going to be able to talk about, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, double digits, Davis. I'm not even mad. I'm impressed.
Well, that's why I had to swap, dude.
That's great. All right. I had 117. Nate just smashed us at 124.
Nate just coming in, just dunking. I mean, do you not play head to heads though so much?
I did play some head to heads, so I mean, I made out a little bit, and then I had one.
Yeah, you would have gotten out alive with 124.
I had one tournament team with, like, Mahomes, Saquon, that did well, but it was not a good week for me. I mean.
You guys,
I even had 124 didn't cash double ups. 124 didn't cash double ups.
I know. I said 130. It was that close.
Yeah, and I mean, The Kamara, Michael Thomas tilt with the Jacobs.
Why didn't Teddy Bridgewater throw the ball to Kamara? Why didn't that happen?
I didn't even have Breeze or anything, so it wasn't like I was tilting the injury specifically. It was just the injury changed the whole like state of that game. But I think the biggest thing I wanted to hear you guys' thoughts on, I saw a lot of people talking about the Josh Jacobs thing being fish after the fact. And I knew going into the slate that, like, hey, I normally don't play a running back that has this high a percentage of his overall projection being made up from just rushing. Like, yeah. But at 4 point whatever he was at, and I thought he was going to be 50%+ owned in cash games, like, I thought fading him was a mistake, even though I didn't think he was going to have – and I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are on now. Like, do you think playing Jacobs in cash was a mistake or no? I don't think it was, but I want to hear your thoughts.
I think with what we expected his passing game usage to be, I don't think it was a mistake, because Jacobs in college was a good pass catcher. That was like ostensibly one of the reasons why he was a first round draft pick and not a third round draft pick like his college teammate Damian Harris, was that he was really good in the passing game. And at some level you expect, you know, a little bit of rational coaching, and you also would expect a team with a first round draft pick at running back to not bench that running back for Jalen Richard, who's on like a veteran's minimum contract. So that was where I was coming at it, is I thought, yeah, a large part of his projection is going to be based off of rushing, but also I don't see any reason why he would not be used in the passing game, basically.
Yeah.
So my take on this, and you guys know this, all week I was just texting you guys, bro, I am 100% fading Jacobs. This is donkey chalk. I'm not going to get caught up, like 0%, 0%, 0%. And then Joe Mixon ended up playing, which like ruined all my amazing plans. And you guys talked me into playing Jacobs in cash for these reasons. And I mean, you guys
played Adrian Peterson, Sammy.
Dude, I still think you should have played him, even just because of how owned he was. Like,
yeah, I think in cash he was fine.
If he gets four more yards and stumbles into the end zone, Sammy, and you don't have him at 50% owned, your week is over. Like,
look, how big of a kick to the undercarriage was it that he finished with 99 yards?
It was just like the cherry on top of my week. Like,
he had the bonus too, and
because it was taken away.
It was a miscredited thing by the stats provider. DeAndre Washington ran for 4 yards. They credited it to Jacob.
No, it was, they had him as a 1 yard run, and then after the drive, they realized it wasn't even a yard on the run. Because on first down and 10, he got what was supposed to be like 3 yards, but it really only came out to 2. So it was tough.
I really wish I would have stuck to my guns. I wish I would have stuck to my guns and let you fish play Jacobs and me do the awesome things that I was going to do. And instead, I let you guys talk me into it, and now I'm poor. And that's the story.
Well, who would you have played?
I don't know what you would have done.
I would have gone to Connor, who did score. He didn't have a great game. And, of course, he got
– Connor sucked. He got 13.
With Connor, you couldn't do Kamara, Connor, and Eckler.
No, I would have gone down to Cooks instead of Juju. And Cooks had a pretty decent game.
Good game. That's who I ended up having to play was Cooks. Yeah.
I get the idea that when a running back is going to be really chalky, and he's cheap and he projects for a decent amount of touches, it's fine to play him in cash and then you 0% him in GPPs, which I did. But it felt bad, and I felt like I could really like smash on this slate if I just stuck to my guns. And, you know, I mean, the one saving grace is I wouldn't have smashed anyway, but like I'm pissed I played Jacobs and you guys are fish.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and start at quarterback. You and I played Ben, or no, I'm the only one that played Ben.
I played Joel.
Smooth.
Yeah. So I played Ben Roethlisberger, who left after a quarter and a half with some sort of right elbow inflammation. After he left the game, everyone from Pittsburgh, all the beat writers said, oh, the team's known about this all week. It's been something that they've been concerned about. Would have been, you know, that would have been some nice information to have, you know, 2 hours before lock. Probably would have played Goff. Actually, no, I would have played Josh Allen because that's who the Daily Roto Optimizer wanted. And, you know, I didn't need the cap, basically, because I found – the rest of the guys that I like. And of course, Ben leaving was awful for Smith-Schuster and not good for the rest of the Steelers offense. So
the thing I enjoyed the most about this is Davis in the middle of the slate texting us, "Nah, it's fine. Ben fakes this every year, and he comes back and he smashes. This is actually a good thing."
Tell me that that's not true, though. Tell me that, like, once a year, Ben doesn't go to the sideline and fake an injury and then come back in.
That actually does happen, though. Yeah.
Josh Dobbs came in on 2 games last year and had to do this whole thing. So I was not worried until Rudolph came out for the second half. And then when Rudolph came out for the second half, I was like, okay, now I'm
broke.
Now I've had enough. Nate, why did you play Goff instead of Josh Allen?
Just because of the total. I thought Goff just felt more safe in this, even though I preferred Allen in GPP. I mean, in cash games, like, I want a guy who I think the Bills could totally put up 7 points and you wouldn't be surprised. Like, the Bills could bill at any time. And I think this Rams-New Orleans game, I just didn't see a way that this didn't end up being the game that I wanted most of my exposure to. All week, I just wanted exposure, and I don't know. With Goff, there's no way LA was going to put up a bunch of points. Goff wasn't that bad. I mean, he was fine.
Josh Allen was a better play in cash than Goff was, because he adds a little bit of that rushing upside. And the Bills are, the biggest thing is the Giants are the most, like, other than the Dolphins, the Giants are the worst and most pathetic organization in pro football right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I get the Allen thing was right there. I just felt like Allen was more of a GPP play and Goff is more of like a cash play that I'm looking for in my quarterback. But
Goff was fine.
Yeah, I was on board with that. I thought Allen was a good play. Actually, when we're talking about playing that swap where I didn't play Jacobs and I played Connor, I also would have had to play Allen, which I was totally fine with. But I agree with Nate that, you know, I wanted exposure to this game. Obviously, we all had Kamara on the other side. But, you know, like, you want some Rams exposure. And we all talk about Ben's home road splits. Goff's are really significant as well. Like, last year, he was, like, I don't know, like, 340 yards a game at home or something wild like that. So I wanted exposure to both sides of this game. And, you know, anytime you can just smash in, like, as many players as you can from a 27-9 game, you know, you just got to do it. That's what we did.
Yeah. I mean, that game ended up having a lot of points. The Seahawks-Steelers game, they just none of them were recorded by Ben Roethlisberger.
or anybody, really, that we wanted them to come by. Who scored in this game? How did this even happen?
Vance McDonald, dude. 2 touchdowns from Mason Rudolph.
I mean, just jam a bunch of trulies in and play Vance everywhere, and you're rich.
Yeah, like, Tuttle knew. I mean, if I could go back and play the slate again, I would play Josh Allen. I after, like, seeing the game flow of the games, I think he was the right play.
If I could go back in time, I would just not play this slate at all. I would self exclude.
So now let's move on to.
Wait, can we talk about?
Oh, go ahead.
I think we should talk about some. There was so many like quarterback things that, like, what about, is Gardner Minshew, like, is this? Are we going to start to look at Gardner Minshew as a play?
Davis would have played him this week if prices were a little different.
Yeah, if Gardner Minshew was 4,400 and the cap was super tight, I would have been like, dude, just lock and load him.
Yeah, this is a fact. Like, I don't know what the slate looks like next week. I haven't looked because, like, I don't want to open, like, my account right now. But, like, we're probably going to play Minshew next week.
Yeah.
But, like, what? Here's the biggest question. And it really deserves an answer. Why didn't we all just play Patrick Mahomes?
Because we were all trying to jam in Kamara. If we had all not decided that Kamara – well, even more than that, if we had all not decided Kamara was a lock and we would have said we were fine with Connor, we all would have played Lamar Jackson, I think. Because that was
– I was going to say, Lamar Jackson was who I want. Looking back, I think Lamar Jackson was who I should have gotten up to.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love with, like, these middling receivers that I did. I shouldn't have, but Mahomes was too priced. I think playing a 7.5K quarterback in cash most of the time is going to be a mistake.
What about playing a $7,000 quarterback next week, Baltimore at Kansas City?
It's lit.
It's Yeah, you got to play Jacksonville.
Let's say, okay, here, let's just right here, let's take guesses on what the Chiefs' secondary wide receivers cost. So Robinson and Hardman, what do you think that these guys cost on DraftKings.com?
Hardman, 5.6. Robinson, 4.9.
Yeah, Robinson is 5.2. Hardman is 5K flat. Oh, Kelsey is going to be the most popular play of the slate. He is 7.1K on DraftKings.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I don't know though. Oakland's on the main slate, so are people going to jam in 4,100 Darren Waller against Minnesota?
No.
Probably not, right? No. Yeah. All right, so let's move to running backs. So the three running backs that I initially planned on playing, I think we all three had these guys, Austin Eckler, Alvin Kamara, Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
Sammy?
Yes. Yes, and two of them were good plays, and then there was Josh Jacobs.
So Big Ben gets hurt and gets 3 points. So I swapped off of Jacobs and I swapped off of Kamara for Latavius Murray and Damian Williams. Basically, Latavius Murray, I figured, was just the leverage play on Kamara. I knew 60% of my opponents were going to have Kamara. Anything happens to him, the Saints get up to a big lead. That's very good for Latavius, not as good for Kamara.
Or if they go down a bunch and they just decide not to throw to Kamara at all, despite it.
That did happen, and Latavius got 3 points. So Latavius was not a particularly strong swap, although I don't really know what else I would have.
Can we talk about the fact that you've been playing daily fantasy for like 9 years, like more than a third of your life, and you put Kamara not in your flex?
Yeah, what was that move? I mean, it wouldn't have changed anything.
What
like,
you doing, dude?
It literally was. I'm sure it was just I had too many things going on Sunday morning. You know, I'm trying to max enter fantasy draft. I'm trying to do like the 1 p.m. only slate. Like literally,
I had too many things going.
Don't
on.
You use an optimizer? You push 400 lineups out. Like
no, not for cash. I upload my GPP. So at the beginning of the week, I enter in all the tournaments and then I save that as one CSV. And then I keep my head to heads and everything I want my cash team in a separate CSV.
I know it didn't end up mattering for your swaps. You would have done the same thing, but the people need to know fish you are. That's so bad.
Yeah, obviously, not super optimal, but I mean, I thought the Damian Williams swap had a chance to work out. I thought if there would have been one way that my team would have clawed back, it would have been Damian Williams basically outscoring Sammy Watkins. That would have been huge.
Damian had a fairly nice game, didn't he?
Yeah, he had no production rushing. He had 9 carries for 8 yards, but he had one long catch. I think he had a reception for about 40 yards, and he was like one safety tackle away from having an 80-yard touchdown.
Well, I thought he scored. So I'm like in this – dude, I'm in L.A. right now, and I've been at this wedding, and so I'm like railing this great Jewish ceremony is going on, and they're lifting people in chairs, and I'm like on my phone like – oh, what's happening in the Chiefs game? And so I didn't like get to watch a lot of this, but I thought he had scored.
Yeah, that game was crazy with touchdowns that were called back. There was a lot there. So I mean, I think we all thought Eckler was just stone cold. There just was no way to not play him, right?
Yes, yeah. And yeah, you know, yeah. It would have been really sweet is if he had scored instead of fumbling on the 1 yard line that one time.
Yeah, yeah. That
his workload is his workload is great. I mean, he's, you know, what did he have? 60-70% of the rushing attempt share with another 16% target
share. Melvin Gordon.
Yeah,
it's just the same Melvin Gordon, only cheaper right now.
Yeah, he's second in the league so far in expected DK points for running backs behind Christian McCaffrey, above Saquon. So, I mean, he's
17 rushes, 6 targets for the second straight week, making an impact through the air and on the ground and getting goal line work. You know, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's going on there. Kamara, I mean, there's nothing to say. Like
this Kamara thing was not there's nothing that we're going to gain from this. It was a complete anomaly.
I mean, I'm just tilted because I caught like some of this game and all I saw was Mike Thomas running these little short routes and then Kamara being wide open, kind of like 8 yards to the side, and Bridgewater just choosing to throw to Thomas every time instead. And Kamara just got nothing. He had one catch. They were down the whole game, and he had one catch. Like, why? Why? Why did this happen?
Because Teddy Bridgewater's not as good as Drew Brees, and so things are just going to go sideways in a way that's not predictable. When a quarterback gets injured mid-game, you know, it is what it is.
Dude, when you're a backup, get in there and dump the ball off. That's what you're supposed to do. Let your playmaker make a play in space. Make it happen. I'm tilted.
Yeah. A couple guys I think had great workloads that I wasn't considering at all were Aaron Jones and David Montgomery. I mean, they ended up.
Do not talk on this podcast about David Montgomery. Like, literally, dude, he does not matter.
Lead back David Montgomery.
Yeah, you won't play him once all year.
You're tripping.
Dude, the Bears are too bad.
What are you talking about?
Way too bad to play that guy.
When you hit 62% of the rushing attempt share and above 10% target share, you're in play at those salaries. That's insane.
Yeah, bro. He got what, like 18 rushes, and Mike Davis was down a 3, and they started like jamming him in on the goal line and gave him all those goal line rushes. Like,
he will probably get. I mean, he to me is in a very similar category to like Marlon Mack and Derrick Henry.
No, sure. He had above a 10% target share, but. I
probably am not going to buy that as repeatable week over week. I think Mike Davis will play some more. I think there will be more games where Mike Davis has usage like week one than more games where he has usage like week two.
Nate's like above 10% target share. You have 3 targets. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, it's not like the Bears are passing 40 times.
Like, if he has one less target, he's got like
a 3% target
share.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's fine. I just like, and in general, guys who get, you know, a lot of their rushing production, like, or a lot of their fantasy production from rushing, and they play for a bad team.
You mean like Josh Jacobs?
Yeah.
Who we just jammed in.
I thought that Josh Jacobs was going to be more used as a receiver, though. I was wrong.
I actually thought he was going to be yeah, that was a fish take. I actually thought he would be higher owned. He was only 45% owned in one of the giant $25 double ups.
Well, there probably were at least I mean, I guess I don't know. How many people late swap? Probably not enough.
Yeah, maybe a couple percent, but I was expecting like 67%. The way, and you know, every tournament's a little different, but like in this one, Eckler 61%. Kamara 69%, nice. Jacobs only 45%. I was surprised at those numbers a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think that's really about it at running back. Wide receiver, Sammy, you and I both planned on playing Smith, Schuster, Watkins, Tyrell Williams.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I did. And I just want to like off myself, like how it just so tilting to watch every receiver on the Kansas City Chiefs smash like God, except Sammy Watkins, who got like 13 targets and couldn't do anything with them the entire time.
Some of them were tough, but yeah, I mean, and Mecole Hardman had a 72-yard touchdown called back by a LeSean McCoy hold too.
Slick.
So Watkins could have been like a pretty clear fourth on that team in fantasy points, which would have been hilarious.
The only thing that would have been better is if it was Watkins' touchdown that got called back.
Yeah. That would have been massive tilt. Yeah, so
the icing on my poop Sunday.
Nate, you played Michael Thomas and Robert Woods over Smith, Schuster, Watkins.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was also with
after seeing Sammy Watkins get 13 targets, how do you feel about that decision?
I mean, the Michael Thomas over Schuster thing was pretty clear cut for me, and then the Watkins.
Yeah, but they were $700 apart.
Yeah, and so what was the Watkins and Woods discount?
Robert Woods was literally not
in territory of play as Sammy Watkins. He was a whole tier below.
Yeah, that is correct, but you need to find somebody in life that you love as much as Nate loves Robert Woods. Like,
no, Michael Thomas is the one that Nate loves. Michael Thomas like gives Nate heart palpitations.
You were acting like the salary was zero. It wasn't.
What do you mean the salary was zero?
What was Woods?
I mean, Juju and Watkins was not equal to Woods and Thomas.
Yes, it was.
No, it was. They were what, 14.7? I think 7.2 for Watkins and 7.5 for Juju.
Yeah, and Thomas was 8, and Woods was 6.5.
Well, so that would be more,
wouldn't it? It was literally a 2v2. It was an even 2v2 salary swap.
Yeah, it's like $200 difference.
Yeah.
No, it was more. I think it was like 300 plus.
So it was like 300.
It was a very Nate. It had to have been because our teams used the same salary at quarterback, and our teams used the same salary at defense, and the rest of our players were the same. So it had to have been close enough for it to work. Because we had the same running backs. My quarterback was $100 less. My defense was $100 less.
I'm so close to stabbing myself in the eye right now.
Yeah, this is horrible. Yeah,
this is terrible.
What I'm trying to tell you is that
It was a $300 difference. It was a $300 difference, and I still, to this moment, don't believe Michael Thomas. I mean, you can argue the Woods thing was fish, but like,
I don't think it's fish. It just wasn't optimal. That's the difference. Like, I don't think you did something like horrible and undefensible. I just think you very clearly did not do something that was optimal.
I'm gonna vote fish on this one.
Taking Michael Thomas, the clear number one in one of the highest total games of the week, from like the Michael Thomas over Juju thing was so clear cut to me.
I mean, Sammy Watkins, a clear number one on the highest total of the week.
Yeah, against Robert Woods, who's like one of three guys that a good team uses through the air, and
not playing Watkins was really bad.
Correct. Dude, you got 13 targets. I'm sure
you got 13 targets from Patrick Mahomes. What do you think the average fantasy point expectation of 13 Patrick Mahomes target is? Like 20?
Yeah, like at least double what Sammy Watkins actually got.
Yeah. So what I had to do, obviously, because I was big time trailing, was I swapped my wide receivers. So I got off of Darren Waller. So the pass catchers I played were Brandon Cooks, Mecole Hardman, Smith-Schuster had already locked, and Travis Kelce. If Hardman had not had the 72-yard touchdown called back, I would have been like pants off running around my house because I'm pretty sure I would have gotten there. If the
second straight week, sick life run out.
Yeah, so I ran hot. I ran hot the once, couldn't run hot the second time. But I guess I would say this about Rams wide receivers, just after watching their two games, because they've been in these late games, so you just see most of it on Red Zone. I don't think I'll play any of these guys in cash, maybe for the rest of the year. Literally
their target distribution is too wide. But that's the same, like, so with Woods, my mistake was just believing that Woods is still the target for Goff, which he was last year. And yeah, I think
your other mistake, Nate, was not buying into the Brandon Cooks revenge game narrative, which
I think was a
bad move by you.
But I do believe that, like, I would much rather take Michael Thomas and Woods in a, like, who I know to be clear number ones without the question mark of injury, and just like the assumption that Watkins is the number one with Tyreek out, with Kelce and with how much Mahomes is able to spread it out, doesn't make it's like
bro, he got 13 targets. He was the number one.
I understand that now looking back, but I'm saying in the moment you have to look at a variance in a target projection, and a variance in target projection for Michael Thomas plus Robert Woods versus Juju and Sammy Watkins. When you think of like error bars with target projection, that is going to be a much more volatile situation with their number one receiver leaving, a tight end who already is the number one on that team, like, and a quarterback who can spread it out the way Mahomes does. The target volatility on that team, even though Watkins, obviously it worked out, he had 13 targets, but like, now
there
looking
is
back,
no target volatility for Sammy Watkins at
this,
all.
This is the height of irony. A gentleman who played Robert Woods in cash trying to tell us about target volatility of Sammy Watkins.
There was no scenario where this game would be played and Sammy Watkins would see less than 8 targets. I would have made under 8 targets like minus 800 or plus 800.
Nate,
I don't get
it. You got to take the L on this one. Nate, I think
this is just absurd. This is just not good. Like, what do you think they're going to do? Throw 28 times on the road?
Woods had 131 targets last year. Woods was the leading targeted receiver on this team last year.
131 is not even that many if you break it down per game. It's like
okay, fine. He had a 23.5 target share percentage of this team.
Okay, what did Watkins? Watkins' target share was like 22% while he was healthy last year, and that was with Tyreek active. Not active.
Watkins was like under 15% last year, but
he left two games early. He played two games. He left two games early with injury, where he played one series.
Right, and the other thing about Woods is what's that data look like with and without Cooper Kupp from last year?
Tyreek Hill didn't even have a 23.5. Or Tyreek Hill had the same.
Tyreek is not that style of receiver. Watkins out targeted Tyreek in four of their games that they played together last year.
I wish people could see the video. Nate's about to have it.
You already have the clear number one in Kansas City being Travis Kelce, who is going to eat 25%+ of that target share. When Tyreek is out, to assume that now Watkins is a 23.5%+ target share projection does not make, like, it's not a one for one.
You're right. It's not a one for one. Watkins is actually more likely to be a high volume wide receiver than Tyreek is because of the types of routes that he runs. I totally agree with your logic there, Nate.
Well, the Woods
guy who leads the best offense in the NFL in targets in a game, not good enough in Nate's projections. That's what I'm hearing.
Coming out of week one, you couldn't have said that.
He got the same amount of targets as Hardman and Robinson combined. Like, it's okay to be like, I thought this one thing was wrong. I feel bad about it. Like sometimes you got to just eat the L, dude.
Yeah. Just take the L, Nate. It's okay.
Robert Woods had two catches, bro.
He had two targets. We have not seen a game where Robert Woods is going to have two targets. He had a 23% target share of this team.
You're not even making the one argument you could make right now, which is that Drew Brees getting hurt just ruined the Rams game plan, and they didn't even have to air it out, really.
Big error bars on Robert Woods.
Okay, I'll take we have just seen Robert Woods low in targets of the year at two, and we have seen 98th percentile of Sammy Watkins will not have more than 13 targets. I mean, we literally saw the highest we're going to see from Watkins, and we saw the lowest we're going to see from Woods, and you guys are acting like that should have been assumed.
Correct.
I don't think the low for Woods should be assumed, but I think you probably should have been projecting Watkins towards, like, to have his most targeted game of the year.
Yeah, we need to move on from this. We're giving Nate the L. We're moving on.
Yeah, Nate, hold the L. Nate, you have.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll take the L. I mean, I took it.
So at tight ends, I hope everyone enjoyed Darren Waller week. This is the last time you should ever play him.
I didn't enjoy Darren Waller week. This was my fade. I steadfastly refused to play three Oakland Raiders in cash. And since I got talked into Josh Jacobs by you, Fish, I decided to fade Waller. And instead of going Ben and Waller, I went Goff and Vernon Davis, who I actually thought was in a pretty good spot. They were supposed to trail the whole time. You know, he had like seven – you guys
are very, very tough scene, man. At least you didn't play T.J. Hockenson, who you were insistent on playing.
You were going to play.
I was very close to Hockenson. He had a lot of air yards last week, bro. Air yards.
Man.
Dude, also, I apologize. I'm, like, in this hotel room, and it's, like, 8 in the morning, and somebody's, like, vacuuming outside in the hall. They think that's a good idea.
No one can hear.
Okay, cool.
I don't understand the not playing Waller there, Sammy. That's a fish move.
Because I didn't want three Raiders, and they ended up scoring 10 points, which indeed was a great idea. But the thing to do was to just play Waller and Tyrell and not Josh Jacobs. But I just wasn't going to play three Raiders. Like, you have to understand, each of them are individual values. That is correct. But, like, playing all these three guys together, like, no crap, you didn't score 130 points in cash. You played three Raiders who scored – the Raiders scored 10 points. Obviously, like that was a bad decision by everybody who did it, and you guys did it, and you guys are bad. I'm going on mute.
Okay, the reason my lineup didn't work this week had nothing to do with three Raiders and cash. It had to do with Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas combining for less than 30 points.
My lineup not cashing had a lot to do with getting 1 point from defense and 3 points from quarterback. It's just, you know, when you get – 4 points combined from 2 year positions. I'll be honest, it is hard to cash. It is.
What did you play at defense?
I played the Denver Broncos at home to can't throw to his left Trubisky.
I don't hate it.
I literally thought they were fine. But they got zero sacks. They got zero turnovers, and Trubisky just spent the entire game handing off, basically.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the issue. So when you look at point spreads, right, like one of the biggest indicators.
Yeah, the fact that they were a home dog was not good.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, Davis was on the thing where, like, they win all their September games. So, like, this is a bad line. I'm just going to jam in that.
They did still cover, though. I need that because they
– Classic betting perspective, Davis.
It was hey. Sammy and I are smashing the Athletic Pentathlon League right now via yeah,
not the super flex portion.
You and your Bill Simmons takes.
Hey, you, Sammy, you know who we have in the super flex auction league? Tyrell Williams and Darren Waller.
It's actually pretty slick. Yeah, but we started OJ Howard and his goose egg over there.
Nice.
Wait,
little
Waller still got 7 targets for, like, why is Waller a bad play now moving forward? I don't. If we're not playing two other Raiders in cash, I don't have a problem playing.
I'm actually just done with the Raiders. I like Tyrell because he's, like, actually a number one receiver now.
Tyrell's a boss.
Yeah.
But I don't understand what the hate is on Waller. Like, Waller at 4,100, I mean, I won't play him versus Minnesota because it's Minnesota, but, like, nothing about what we've seen from Waller seems like it's going to change going forward.
No, it's just that psychological construct, you know, where it's like, oh, I had this guy at 3K and then 3.3K, yeah. Like, you know, now he's 4. I don't know, but I'm just gonna play
Kelsey next week. I think
that's probably sharp. Let's do sharper.
Because he's the number one receiver in Kansas City. That's probably sharp.
Man, when Nate plays Watkins at 6.8K, I just really want everyone to pay a lot of attention to the fact that that's going to happen.
Watkins is an elite GPP play this week, by the way.
I haven't started, like, looking at stuff, and I don't even know how viable this is, but obviously playing Watkins and Kelsey just on the surface of it sounds very intriguing.
Yeah.
So big takeaways. I actually think, like, stuff that happened this week is going to be kind of just like a massive change to how things go for the rest of the year, because with Mason Rudolph at quarterback, those guys are not going to be playable. You know, Smith-Schuster, James Conner, even the, like, maybe, I mean, maybe like James Washington, he's 3,500 against San Francisco. Maybe he would be, And the Saints offense, you know, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, those guys have been huge parts of daily fantasy for the last 2 years and season long fantasy. And those guys suck now. You do not want to have those guys on your teams now. Like, that's just the way it goes.
Those guys suck now. One of the most efficient receivers we've seen in the past 10 years. They suck now.
You want it, Nate?
No, Michael Thomas, bro. I don't want them without Drew Brees. I'm just saying these guys suck now.
This is big news for our Superflex auction league, Davis, because we don't have any good players. So the fact that there are good players with values going down might play.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's like, hey, look, Le'Veon Bell with Trevor Siemian tonight. He better freak out. They better just run 20 screen passes to Le'Veon Bell. I would take 21 targets for 19 yards and just come away happy with that, I think. After the performance that Joe Mixon put on at home against the San Francisco 49ers, they just got absolutely toilet flushed by the 49ers.
I'm so tilted. So I had so much Jimmy Garoppolo in week one and in GPPs, and it didn't work out. And then he smashed
this week.
Yeah, it's tilt. One of my big takeaways, and I know that many people have been on this train, but I thought this was really a breakthrough performance for Arizona on the road in Baltimore. Like, that's a tough scene. And Kyler Murray was just awesome. And the Arizona receivers were awesome. You know, Fitz just smashing again with over 100. Kirk had a great game. I mean, Kyler Murray, like, he hasn't even started running yet. And he has back-to-back 300-yard games. And obviously,
If his coach was not the biggest coward of the 32 NFL head coaches, they would have had a real chance to walk into Baltimore and beat what is, like, maybe the NFL's second or third best team.
Cliff Cowardsbury, is that what we're going to call him?
The thing about Arizona is, outside of Fitz, like, it's going to be really hard to have like a sustainable target projection for these guys, because he's going to spread around. Like, Kirk's going to get his, Johnson's going to get his, Bird's going to get his, DJ's going to get his. Like,
I don't think that's true at all. Fitzgerald and Kirk are stone cold locks for 10 plus targets every single week. Keyshawn Johnson will be Keyshawn will be third. Like, I don't view it as it being not repeatable at all. I think Kirk is kind of just the boy every week.
I think Andy Isabella will be like a league winner, like come like week 12.
But Davis, you do like Larry Fitzgerald is still the guy in that offense. Like, he's still going to be the one who gets most of the targets. Yeah,
Kirk and Fitzgerald are 10 plus targets. Like, they're throwing 40 passes a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's something else I learned, and I think this is important. If the Patriots had not just absolutely mollywopped the Dolphins, I think Antonio Brown would have had a massive, massive game. Like, he was their new toy, and I think we're all underrating. You know, remember when they got Randy Moss, and we all thought Randy Moss was like kind of dust, and then
I don't think Antonio Brown is dust. I just think he's gonna like probably be suspended or something. I don't know.
I'm sure he will. But while he's playing, I think that they're just going to target the hell out of Antonio Brown, and he is going to absolutely smash. And I'm going to play him a lot next week.
I mean, he underperformed. I mean, he literally only caught 50% of his targets. And so, like, this could have been, even without, like, them passing more, he could have had a smash week here.
Absolutely.
I mean,
same for
Gordon, though, too. Gordon had 5 targets, only caught 2 of them.
Yeah,
that's Gordon does, though.
Yeah, they had similar.
Gordon's always going to have a lower catch rate, though. Gordon's always going to have a low catch rate. Antonio Brown's not going to catch 50% of his passes. Like,
yeah, I just think it was really clear that they had a new toy and who's just still pretty elite. And they were like, dude, we are, as long as he's on the team and he's playing, we are going to target the hell out of him and like steal people's souls. And
yeah. Dude, so are you guys going to play Frank Gore and Cash at home to Cincinnati next week?
better than Josh Jacobs.
I mean, if Devin Singletary doesn't play, they are down to a fullback and TJ Yeldon, who they have not given a carry or a target to.
Ooh, yet. This could be a fun week for you, Davis. TJ Yeldon week all over again.
Also, what are we? Let's just. We need to have this conversation about defenses, right? Because the Patriots broke the slate. Like huge, like they got like what, like 38 on DraftKings, I think. Yeah. So what do you, have you guys looked at DK prices yet?
For next week? No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely
what do you guys,
not. I'm
you
not
guys,
opening the client.
What do you guys think the Cowboys at home to Miami cost?
4.1.
Okay. Yeah,
probably above 4.
What do you think they should cost?
4.1.
Probably above 4.
They are 4.3. They are $500 more expensive than every other defense.
Yeah, I mean, so we were talking about this a little earlier, but one of the biggest things you can do to pick a good defense is just pick the teams with the biggest point spreads.
Yeah, like, teams going to face the most pass attempts.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost that simple. I mean, so much of like the line versus line stuff and all this is baked into that spread. And so this is why the Texans, Nate, you played the Texans, right?
Yeah.
This is why we played the Texans. They were like 8.5 or 9 point home favorites. And as much as you like Gardner Minshew's, like, you know, cool swag and, you know, 70s outfits.
Dude,
like
they almost won this game outright.
Dude, Gardner Minshew ended up being like one of the most efficient passers of the.
It doesn't matter. Like the Texans defense scored 10 points, right?
Yeah.
That's why they were a way better play than the 2 point underdog, Denver Broncos, right? And so that's, the Patriots were like 18.5 point favorites, and their defense smashed. Like there's a and studies have been done, there's a big correlation here. So I think that that's one thing that you always need to be conscious of.
I just can't imagine spending 4 point, like allocating that much salary towards defense and cash.
Yeah, you're going to say that, and then Josh Rosen is going to come in the fourth quarter, throw 2 pick-sixes, then it's going to be coffins to a 40% owned defense again.
Steelers weren't 40%, or Patriots weren't 40% in cash.
They were very, I know they weren't. I'm exaggerating, but they were big time owned.
Yeah.
Next week already seems interesting because if DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey and Dallas Goedert are all not out, we're welcome to Nelson Agholor chalk week. Like Nelson Agholor is going to be the new Josh.
That Jacob drop yesterday tilted me so much. Boy, even my showdown slate was tilting.
Yeah. I mean, I tweeted last night, there's nothing sadder in daily fantasy than the Sunday Night Football Showdown slate where 50,000 dudes who spend all day losing money fire open their laptops and try and justify the time.
Next week's a Jameis week. Next week's a Jameis week. He's like down at like 5-4 or something, going up against the Giants, who are the worst, at home. It's a Jameis Godwin week for me.
Wentz will probably end up being the cash play, 5,600 at home to Detroit. I haven't even looked at projections.
With no receivers.
I'm not even looking at the slate. Like, I still need to figure out a way to like go fund me like some money to like enter contests.
Sammy, we gotta go sell some blood this week. We gotta go find the blood donation centers in that's really it.
The worst thing about having a bad week is when you have to come on and talk about your stupid decisions.
Yeah, imagine getting done with that slate yesterday and then at 7 o'clock having to go on TV and talk about the slate for 2 hours.
Well, you know what I did is I got done with that slate and then I played some Showdown and then lost even more because I freaking played.
I know I do say this a lot, but I think yesterday was the most money I've ever lost in a single day.
what's Bitcoin at right now?
Yeah. Well, I had like the best day I've ever had in college football on Saturday. So I just was like all night long, I was just entering more tournament teams because I was like, the money keeps rolling in the account. So why not? And like it was, you know, it's just one of those things.
And none of them had Patriots defense and now you're poor.
No, I just thought I was being super sharp with my Broncos at home call, dude. They just, the altitude is so bad.
Trubisky can't throw to his left.
Yeah, you can't throw to his left. I actually do have a serious question for you, Sammy. Let's say Roethlisberger misses a month, but we also get James Conner out for a month. What do you spend on Jalen Samuels and or Benny Snell in Fab?
I mean, I probably
as we are on air right now. No. Big Ben done for the year. Like literally, like this not retirement. But he's having elbow surgeries out for the year.
He just needs to retire. I mean, there's no way he's coming back from.
Can I swear on this show? Can I? I shouldn't. I'm beside myself with tilt right now.
So
I hate football so much. Like, this is just the absolute worst. Like, why do we do this to ourselves? Like, oh, I love this team. I got this jersey. Do you guys know I'm going to the San Francisco Steelers game next week? I want to sell my tickets on eBay.
No, Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, hold on. I'm gonna Amazon a Mason Rudolph jersey right now. When can it be here?
Oh man, that was some amazing live. I wish we were streaming right now. This would be amazing.
This is gold.
Dude, I'm like in a wife beater in like this like hotel in downtown LA, and I'm about to like drive home and just like stew and tilt for 6 hours. Just the stone worst. Listening to podcasts about how Ben's done for the year.
Oh, Sammy.
My wife's going to be like, oh, it's okay, honey.
Welcome home.
Do you think the Steelers are tilting that they traded Josh Dobbs?
No.
I thought Dobbs was the primary backup.
No, dude, they drafted Rudolph in the third round, the pick we stole from the Raiders. Rudolph to Washington.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to listen to Adam Levitan.
The shower narrative.
For like all week. Just I'm tilted.
Wow. Tough scene, man.
the definition of a tough scene.
I think I'm probably going to go through all my leagues right now and try and send super low ball trade offers for Smith-Schuster. Just the lowest. I'll give you Josh Jacobs for Juju Smith-Schuster, who says no. That's the way you profit off of this news. Let's see. What does are the Steelers in the main slate?
Can we end this podcast?
Fine. We can. I just
Sammy just wants to be done.
I wanted to see what the 49ers defense cost, but that's fine. All right, yeah, end of this podcast. We end it with some prime Sammy Reed tilt. Everyone, we will be back next week, hopefully a little less tilted.